Today our scripture comes from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Listen to these words. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jerry, thank you for that song. There should be no reason that we should not tell God what we want. None. We should bring everything to God and open our hearts to God. Some of the things you may say, well, that's not something I really should be wanting. Well, here's what I'm going to say. Bring it to God. Share it with God. And if it's truly something that we shouldn't be about, God will help us to be about what God wants us to be about. It's a scripture in Proverbs that says, if you give God your heart, He will give you the desires of your heart. And when we're in deep relationship with God, we only want what God wants anyway. That's the secret. It's about making the most. It's about making the most of every opportunity, every day, every moment. Seize the day. Capture the day. Get ready for the day. Look for good in the day, not for ill. Look for excitement. Look for joy. Look for opportunities to give thanks to God. One of the things I know about walking the Christian life is if I'm going to make the most of every day and I'm going to seize the day and I'm going to use it to live for God's kingdom, I've learned this, that Christians should be people who examine how they live their days. We should be people that examine how we live our days. Maybe a time at the end of the day, looking back over the day and saying, what happened today? What went on today? How did I respond? How did I reach out? How did I encourage someone else? How could I do better tomorrow? One of the things that I've learned through my exercise routines, whether it be running or doing other things now, particularly more on a bike now, it's not about beating somebody else. It's not about doing what somebody else can do. It's about being better than I was last time I did it. Even if it's only by just that much. It's about a personal best for me. It's not about did I win the race. It's about did I do better than last time? Am I improving? And I've also learned that that can't happen every day. I've learned particularly the hard way, especially as your body gets older. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Most of you don't, I know, but some of you may know what I'm talking about. You can't do what you used to do. And you got to rest. Can I make a suggestion? During those times of rest, evaluate how your spiritual walk's been going. Are you improving? Are you growing? When it comes to your spiritual life, do you have a personal best today over yesterday? I know, sometimes when I think back over my days and evaluate my days, I realize how wrong I've done something. Or how I've missed something where I could have taken an opportunity and seized it. I can't go back and change that. But I can use that as a teaching moment to learn for the next time. And to think about when something similar happens again next time, I'm ready. I'm ready to make the comment to point someone towards the Lord. I'm ready to say something to encourage someone and to lift them up. I'm ready to hold back on the words that might not encourage someone. That's what it means to evaluate your lives, to examine your lives and to look at them. How can I live tomorrow better for the Lord than I did today? One of the things that I have found most helpful for me, and you've heard me talk about this before, is I keep a journal. Maybe only about 4 or 5 days a week do I write in it. But I write down my feelings, I write down my thoughts, I write down my prayers. I write down what happened around me. And I ask God to help me to do better. It's a record that I can go back and look at. After many years now, there's a whole box of these books. Sometimes I'm pretty good about writing and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I might go a month, a year, or even longer before I write again. But the great value there is it helps me to reflect on my life and to examine my life. And what am I doing for my relationship with God? And what am I doing for the kingdom of God? That's why we're still here, folks. Wouldn't it be great when we accepted Jesus Christ if we were taken immediately to heaven and never have to deal with sin and problems and difficulties and disease ever again? Wouldn't that be great? I'm not getting a bus up today, Jerry, okay? Don't worry about that. I'm not getting a bus up today to go to heaven. God has left us here to help the rest of this world. God has left us here to us to evaluate our lives and to see how we can help other people. You see, we should be looking for the opportunity to spread the word about Jesus Christ. That's why God's left us here, to spread the word about Jesus Christ to other people. So we should be looking for those opportunities. We should be looking for those moments where we can say something about God, where we can say something about Jesus Christ. It does not mean that you've got to get the person from where they are all the way to being saved and involved in a church somewhere. What it means is you need to plant a seed. Even the Apostle Paul knew this, and he knew it well. He said, I planted the seed. Somebody else watered it. Somebody else harvested it. I'm just asking you to think about, are you planting seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ as you live your life? Now, sometimes people have told me, well, Pastor, I don't know anybody that doesn't go to church. Then it's time for you to get to know some people. Because that's why God has left you here. It's not just to encourage the people in the church and to support one another and pray for each other. It's also to reach out with the very word of Jesus Christ so that people can come to Christ. I've told you numerous times, no one told me about Jesus Christ until I was 18. No one. No one told me that I could accept Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross so that I could have salvation, eternal life, and be redeemed and restored. Nobody told me. I guess when I was about 16, I had an aunt that gave me a Bible. I didn't understand it. I loved to read. I read that Bible, but I didn't understand it. I was just like the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. I didn't know how to understand it without somebody helping me. And somebody started to help me understand it, and it clicked then. And I come to understand what I needed to do. Folks, we need to be planting seeds everywhere we go. We need to be watering those seeds. And maybe, just maybe, God will allow you the opportunity to harvest a seed that has been planted and watered. I can only tell you how great that is to be in that moment when somebody, I remember telling one young man, let me know when you're ready to make a decision. And he looked at me and said, why can't I do it today? And I said, let's do it then. And so that day, I happened to be there while a seed was harvested. But folks, we need to be spreading the word of Jesus Christ at every opportunity. It's not just the missionaries that do this. Hey, we pay for missionaries, and missionaries go and they tell the word of Jesus Christ and they get people saved. It's also our responsibility. That's why God has left us here, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people in our own town do not know that they can accept what Jesus Christ did for them and have salvation and eternal life. I will guarantee this. There are people in our town that don't know. I can guarantee that. Even though there's over 25 churches in this town, there's still people that don't know. One of the exciting things, though, and Paul tells us about it here in this passage, in verse 17, after telling us to seize the day, take the opportunity, be careful, do what we can, act as wise people, Paul says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You see, we can discern the will of God for this very purpose. We can discern as Christians the will of God for the very purpose of sharing the gospel with other people. We can do it. I am convinced, I've walked with God long enough in a personal relationship, God does not hide God's will from us, and it's a whole hide and seek the whole rest of our journeys. God does not do that. God will show you the people that God has already touched their heart and they're just waiting for a seed to be planted. God will allow you to be there at the moment when somebody needs to hear a word about Jesus Christ. Will you recognize that moment? Will you say a word to help plant the seed further, to water it? Paul says very wisely to the church at Ephesus, the days are evil. And what's happening around us is evil. I wonder how many of the people that just died in the earthquake in Haiti never had an opportunity to understand about Jesus Christ because somebody didn't tell them. And now they're dead and they don't have a chance. Folks, there are people dying around us that will not go to heaven because they don't know Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to seize those opportunities to plant the seeds. It's not our responsibility to make them make the decision. But it's our responsibility to plant the seed and to water it. You know, instead of, and Jerry, stay seated during this one, please. Instead of living on the downside of life, we should be people with music in our hearts. I told you, no. Don't scare people. Don't. I do. I meet people that their whole focus is right here. No matter where they go, it's right here. And it's what's going on around them. And oh, woe is me, and oh, woe is the world. And you know, there's an asteroid that's going to crash into the earth. Yeah, I saw that headline this week. Sometime in the next 300 years. Guess what? I'm not going to spend 10 minutes worrying about that. Is it going to happen? I'm sure there's enough junk out there floating around. Something's going to crash into the earth in the next 300 years. If nothing else, there's enough junk that we put up there that's going to come down one day and may make it all the way back to earth. But folks, you've heard me say this before. Let's stop being spiritual Eeyores. If you don't know Winnie the Pooh, go read that book. Okay? That's all I can tell you. Go on Disney Plus and watch the movie, Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore has this outlook on life that no matter what happens, it's bad. No matter what happens, it's not going to get better. And Pooh and Piglet and Tigger and all of his friends try to lift him up, and he just can't get there. Don't be that kind of Christian. It's time for us to have music in our hearts. Amen? It's time for us to be excited about serving the Lord. We have been saved. Can you be excited about that? Ooh, didn't really sound like it from everybody. Can you be excited about being saved? That's a little bit better. Folks, when we get out there and tell people they can be saved, if we talk like spiritual Eeyores, do you think they want to join their life with Jesus Christ? Do you think they do? I think the answer is no. We've got to be excited. Let's stop being so depressed. Let's stop being lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Let's stop that. Let's have music in our heart. There's nothing wrong with that. Jerry wanted us to clap during that song, and I'm clap challenged. Okay? Sometimes I even miss. But we need to be excited about our faith. We need to be lifted up. I can sway. I can do that. There is no reason to stand still when we're standing, when we're singing about the excitement. And that's the way we should be walking our lives every day. That people look at us and say, no matter what's going on, that person's excited about life. That person's been redeemed. That person's been restored. I want to talk to them and find out what's going on for them. Are people coming to you and finding out, how can you be so excited when COVID is rampant again? Are people coming to you and saying, gosh, you're always so upbeat and lift? I'm not asking you to be the Energizer Bunnies, folks, okay? That's not what I'm asking. But we need to be looking up, not down. We need to be looking up. Look at what God has done for us. Look at the excitement that goes on. Look at what happens. Look at the blessings we receive. We need to be telling people about that, not just each other. We need to be telling people in this community who don't know Jesus Christ. people should also know us as people of gratitude. I'll give you a little exercise. You can stay seated. I'm not going to ask you to do jumping jacks or anything, okay? But I'm going to give you a little exercise. From now until the end of the month, each day, write down two things you can be thankful for. Each day, write down two things that you can be thankful for. When you get to the end of the month, look at that list. You'll not go without a day. And as you continue to do that more and more, you continue to be a person of greater gratitude to God for what God has done to you and what God has done for you and how God has worked in you and through you. We do pretty good of keeping up with the news and finding depressing things, don't we? How about just take a moment to write down two things that you're thankful for each day? It will change your outlook on things. It will completely change your outlook on things. And you will not have any problems thinking about what to be grateful for. If nothing else, you'll come to the place where you realize, I don't have enough ink, I don't have enough pencil, and I don't have enough paper for all the things that I notice that I should be thankful for. That's what will happen once you start writing. It changes your whole perspective, and you see that God has done an incredible thing in here in the midst of the world, even as evil exists. You will begin to find incredible things that God's doing around you. You'll be able to know and discern God's will for when you should say something when you start noticing these things. You'll be able to seize the moment and go, here's the perfect moment for me just to say, what a beautiful day God's given us. Instead of just saying, isn't it a beautiful day? Just add a little phrase to it. Isn't it a beautiful day that God has given us? Isn't the life that we have exciting for what God has done for us? That's planting a seed. That's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's opening doors that people might go, I want to know more. I've told you about it before. I'll never forget the day that I said that one day. Didn't the Lord give us a beautiful day? As me and another gentleman that I worked with were driving to the Navy base to work on a ship for the day. Caught in traffic. I'll never forget that day. Because he turned and looked at me and said, yeah, I've been meaning to ask you about this Jesus Christ thing. Can you tell me more? What would have happened if I didn't plant the seed? I don't know where he is today. I don't know if he made a decision to accept Jesus Christ, but I know that that day he gave me an open door and said, can you explain to me this thing about Jesus Christ? I didn't pray for us to continue to be caught in traffic, by the way. But it was not a conversation that ended that day. All because I said, didn't God give us a beautiful day? And the door opened wide. When somebody does that to you, you have as long as they'll let you take. Didn't God give us a beautiful day? He's dropping a seed. Hey, tell me about this Jesus Christ thing. That's the way he asked. He didn't know how to ask differently. And I told him about it. I know that he got to hear the gospel that day. And I know that he knew that he needed to make a decision. And I left it there. That's between him and God. There were other opportunities to talk to him and remind him about our conversation. But it's not mine to beat him about the head and shoulders until he makes a confession of Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's God's Holy Spirit to work in his heart. All I had to do was plant the seed. How might you better become a person who seizes the day to make Christ known? How might you better become a person who seizes the day to make Christ known? It's your responsibility to. Scripture says that again and again and again. It's not just those who work in vocational ministry as a full-time job. It's every Christian's responsibility. Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus again. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music with your heart, or from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my prayer for you, that you will live these words. Not just know them, but live them in all their fullness. There's one thing I know about God, and one thing I know for sure. God only wants the best for your life. And we often sell ourselves short. And we tell God we can't do that. And God says, I want the best for your life. That's what I have planned for you. Will you live into the best? And God's not going to hide that from you. Jerry's right. All you got to do is ask and seek and knock. Tell the Lord what you want. I'm hoping that your first thing is to want to know God deeper so that you can seize every opportunity to let other people know about Jesus Christ. How might you better become a person who seizes today to make Christ known? Let's pray. Lord, you fill our lives with grace and mercy. You pour into us love and comfort and peace as we establish a deeper relationship with you and walk in that relationship daily. Lord, help us to be mindful of those who don't have that relationship with you. Help us to see them. Help us to plant a seed. Help us maybe to stumble along and just add some water. And give us moments when we can see someone accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that we might see how glorious that is and what that causes the angels in heaven to do, to sing and shout and dance, because another soul has been saved. Lord, help us, especially not to be about ourselves, but to understand that we need to live for your kingdom so that there might never be again someone who lives around us that dies not knowing Jesus Christ. Please empower us, strengthen us, help us to look up, help us to sing, help us to dance, help us to know you in an incredible way, that more might come to your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.